going to be nice whenever present situation comes to an end and we can all disregard these masks and see what everybody looks like and the expressions on the face. Because it's hard at times when you're given the message and you're looking around, and with the mask, you don't always get the true expression and the true lead that you might receive. But let's just come to the Lord before I read the passage that He's laid on my heart this morning. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your faithfulness to each one of us. Lord, You are a loving God, and You have nothing but the best for each one of us. But Lord, we need to just listen to Your prompting and to be prepared to follow Your guidance if we are to hope to achieve the full potential of what You have in store for each one of us. So Lord, I just pray You'll take away all fear from me this morning and allow me to deliver the word that You have laid on my heart to the hearts of these good brothers and sisters that are here this morning, and to those who may listen online to the sermon later on. But Lord, I just ask You to take me and to use me. Let me be Your mouthpiece, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Passage of Scripture I'm going to read shall be familiar to all of you. It's the Psalm of David, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lovely words. I've entitled this morning's message LTLL. Let the Lord lead. We've already heard it in the song, beautiful song this morning, about the Lord leading. Psalm 23, as I'm sure you're well aware, is attributed to King David. And I would suggest that we could regard it as a testimony to his relationship, his love, and his appreciation for what God was doing for him, for his protection and provision. From Scripture, we learn that David, as a young boy, was himself a shepherd who took care of his father's sheep. And we know that during a visit to a battlefield with supplies of food for his brothers, he took up the challenge to go and face Goliath, not in his own strength, but in the Lord's strength, because he had faith that his God would protect him. And he killed Goliath, the champion that everyone else was afraid to go out and face because of his mere size. But this young man, we're told he was a young man then, we're not sure exactly what age he was, but he was so sure of God's protection that he went out there, picked a few pebbles from a stream, got a slingshot out, and faced this giant who was laughing and sniggering at him and trying to belittle him. But his courage was strong, not in himself, but in the God who was his protector. Now David was, he was the youngest of eight boys. A bit like myself, I'm the youngest of eight boys. Yeah, but I'm nothing like David. I'm not pretending to be. But he was chosen by the Lord to become king. And the Lord instructed Samuel to go and select him from the family of Jesse's children, the boys. Now, Samuel went there, and he was looking on the power, the size, the image of each. But each time he came to a conclusion, the Lord said, no, that's not the one. And it wasn't until he asked Jesse, have you got another son? That the young shepherd was brought and he was anointed, because he was chosen by the Lord. And that's where his strength was, in the Lord. You know, there are times when we can read scripture and we treat it as if it's just an ordinary book, a novel. And I think what we need to do is not only read scripture, but we need to unpick it, digest it, and learn from the word, and let it inhabit our inner being if we hope to grow in our faith. With that in mind, I would like to take a closer look at Psalm 23 this morning. There's quite a few little points on it, but we'll go through it anyway and see where we get. I'm breaking it down more or less line by line, as it were. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, if you can claim the Lord is your shepherd, you can have the same relationship that David enjoyed with his God, his Lord. A relationship requires a common bond. And if you can claim Jesus as your Savior, then you share a common bond with him, because you've been forgiven, you've been accepted. You know, and you can come close to the Lord through his word, through prayer. And it's important. It's like any relationship. It can only survive through communication. And that's what's so hard with the current situation today with this pandemic. We try to communicate with people by phone, but how much do we miss being able to put our arms around someone and hug them? Especially we had a woman across the road. She lost her husband to COVID not so long ago. And she was telling us about the passing of her husband, Brian. And I felt really aching. I wanted to hug her. You know, but you can't. And that is so hard. But with the Lord, everything is possible. You know, he is there to support us in all things. And if we want to remain in contact with him, then we need to stay in communication with him. The psalm continues, I shall not want. I shall not want. That suggests supply to me. And you know, our God is so gracious. He supplies all of our needs and then some. And scripture tells us this. If we look at Philippians 4:19, we read, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And then again in Romans 5:17, we read, for if by trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? You see, he doesn't just supply our needs to keep us, sustain us physically. He supplies our needs on a way to get back into your right relationship with him through that one man, Jesus Christ. And he is our Lord and Savior. He went to the cross to die for each one of us. That was our greatest need, for Jesus to go to that cross willingly for us, to enable us to have his salvation and to look forward to our true relationship with him. The psalm goes on, He makes me lie down in green pastures. That suggests rest to me. You know, our God is a loving Father. And just like we love our children, you like to get them down at night to bed because they need to rest. We all need rest if we want to grow. We all need rest. And nobody recognizes that more than Jesus. As we can read, he's speaking to his disciples in Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You know, Heidi was on today about her work and the trouble she's got. Take that verse and just let it go into your soul. You know, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So he's wanting to be on the other side, balancing up, and he'll take the strain for you. We can rely on it. But I'm giving you an open invitation now. If you feel at any time you need someone to talk to, feel free to pick up the phone and give me a ring. Okay, because that's what we're here for. We're here to support each other. You know, we're not on our own, as it were. We've got the Lord on our side. And if we are the Lord's, then we've got to share in the burden and share that load. In Hebrews 4, verses 9 to 11, goes on, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. You know, the reference there is to the children of Israel that we heard from Heidi the other week in the desert, in the wilderness, where they were disobedient. So it took them 40 years to get to their land of rest, into the promised land, because of their disobedience. David goes on, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Now this speaks to me of refreshment. And we need refreshment. We need nourishment, and refreshment is a big part of that. In John 6, verse 35, we read, this is Jesus himself. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. It couldn't be any clearer than that. And we're not talking about just physical thirst and physical hunger. We're talking about spiritual hunger. Because everybody is in searching for something. If they don't know the Lord, they'll make a God of something else. Whatever takes hold of them. Where the Lord wants to set us free to rely on him. He doesn't try and corral us into submission or beat us into submission. That's our own free will. But he does invite us. He'll knock on the door. If you hear that knock, open the door and he will come in. David goes on in the psalm, he restores my soul. Now this speaks to me of healing. It's not just physical healing. Again, it's spiritual healing. It's making you feel at ease within yourself. Not on your of yourself, but because you know that he has got your back. You know, and we know all, if you go into scripture, it tells you all about the armor, full armor of God. You put on the helmet, the breastplate, gird up your loins and all the rest of it. There's no protection for your back. It doesn't mention anything for your back. God has got your back. And if you're keeping going towards the enemy, you don't need your back because he's at your back. It's only if you turn your back on the enemy that you open yourself up to all sorts of harm. And Satan is just waiting on that opportunity. So it's important to keep moving forward with the Lord and not standing still. Because if you're standing still, you're actually going backwards. So in 1 Peter 13, we read, therefore, gird up your loins, the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We've already read Matthew 29, but it also fits into here, into the healing. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. It's a well-known and accepted fact that healing requires rest. And that rest, perfect rest, can only be found in one place, and that's in Jesus Christ. David continues, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Now that suggests to me guidance. We've already sung about it this morning. And we have the Holy Spirit, if we know the Lord, we have the Holy Spirit within us to guide us, to prompt us, and to let us know when we're getting off the path, rather than physically restraining us on the path, because we've got a free will. But we've got that prompting. But again, this is why we need to maintain the communication lines, because if those lines are blocked, we won't receive it, and then we can end up in all sorts of trouble. But Scripture tells us in John 16, in verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Now, the only way, as I've already said, that we can get that message is by maintaining communication with the Lord through reading his word and studying it, and through prayer. And we need to not only hear what the Lord is saying to us, but we need to act upon it. We need to put it into practice. That's why we're called practicing Christians, because we're not perfect. But you've got to practice to be good at anything. You know, it doesn't just happen overnight. Daniel will tell you. He's been practicing a long time, and he's quite good now on the piano and the clarinet. But it's all because he's put in the time and the effort to practice. And yes, the Lord has given them the gifts, but he has sharpened those gifts and used them. And we still say, bless you, Daniel. David goes on in the psalm. The next line, next bit is, for his name's sake, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, but it's for his name's sake. Now that suggests to me that the Lord has got a purpose for each one of us. You know, and my favorite one, I know you're going to say, oh, not again, Jerry, I hear this every time you're preaching, but it is such a vital promise, and it's one that I really love, and that's Jeremiah, that lovely old prophet. 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And the only way that we can know the Lord's will is through his prompting, through talking to him, praying to him, reading his word, digesting his word, and submitting to his will. David continues, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now that suggests a time of testing. And testing is something that we all go through. It's something that we possibly don't like. But you know, when you look back on the hard times that you've gone through, I mean, we struggled when we got married at first, and as a young man in the Air Force on very low wages. In fact, I was about sixpence more above the wage where I could claim free school meals for the girls. You're always at that level. You know, you're on the breadline, but no assistance was available. You know, the Lord is great. And that testing, actually, it built us up. It made us stronger. because we had to rely on the Lord and on ourselves rather than go to anyone cap in hand, because none of our parents were wealthy. We couldn't go and tap them or anything, you know. But we grew through it. So testing is a good thing. It's how you deal with it. So it will strengthen you. And James tells us in James 1, verses 2 to 4, we read, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Testing strengthens us. It enables us to grow in our faith, producing muscle power, as it were. So the next time you face a struggle, just ask the Lord to help you, and he will. Because again, we could bring that verse on, you know, "My yoke." You know, the Lord is with us 24/7. He never leaves us. That's why David went on, "I will fear no evil." David knew that the Lord was protecting him. And yes, we too, like David, have a loving Heavenly Father. He really cares for us, his children. And Psalm 91 informs us that we can rely upon the safety of abiding in the presence of God. In Psalm 91 we read, He dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He will deliver you from the snares of the fowler and from perilous pestilence." It's clear then that, like David, we too can constantly put our faith in God. David goes on, "For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now that can only mean one thing to me: discipline. And discipleship comes from discipline. And today in the world, discipline is seen as a dirty word, which I believe is because people don't understand what the difference is between punishment and correction. There are times when we all need correction, and it's important to note that the Lord's discipline is dealt out in love for our own good and to protect us from ourselves, from our old sinful nature. It's not to beat us up and to put us down. It's to build us up. As parents, if we love our children, we need to discipline them. Bad news, Daniel. Or if you prefer, to correct them, to keep them safe from all sorts of dangers and things which they're maybe a little bit immature about. So we need to discipline them. As parents, it's not always a pleasant thing. But if you remember, you're disciplining. You're not beating them up. You're just correcting them. You know, Scripture warns us in Proverbs 13:24, "Whoever spares the rod hates their children." Hates their children. "But the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them." Now, I think the key word in that verse is careful. Yeah? Children need boundaries, as we need boundaries. Otherwise, how are we supposed to know how to respond? How are children knowing what is right and what is wrong if we just let them have their own way? We all need boundaries. The psalmist David goes on, You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Now, to me, that suggests hope. I've always had a nice thought. It's nice if you go back, if someone's done you wrong, rather than feeling bad about it, or angry about it, or holding a grudge about it. It's nice to go back and just say, you know, thank you for that. Sit and then go, what? So thank you for that, because of what you said to me, you have made me think and adjust my attitude and change my attitude or change my job or whatever the case may be. And you watch all of the angst that you had just shift back onto their shoulders. And it's sounds a bit like revenge, like in a way, you know, but it lets them know and it gets them thinking about what they've done as well. So that's just an aside. I'll give you that one for free. But Romans 8:19-21, we read, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revelation and the revealing of the Son of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Again, it's saying, you've got the Lord on your side. You've got hope. Jeremiah told us that is part of his plan, to give us hope on the future. So again, hope comes in. In Acts 17:26-28, we read, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they may grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. You know, and it's true, the Lord is not far from any one of us at any time. He's available, as I've already said, 24 hours a day. As he promised in the last part of Matthew 20b, the last part of the verse 20, which reads, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. David the psalmist goes on, you anoint my head with oil. Now, that speaks to me of consecration or conversion. When you've accepted the Lord, your head is anointed. You get anointed by the Holy Spirit. We read in 1 Samuel 16:13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, that's David, in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. If you know the Lord, then you know that you too were chosen by him. Just as David was chosen by him to be king, you have been chosen to be sons and daughters of the living King. And that is just so hard to take hold of. But it's so true. If you know the Lord, then you know that you've been chosen. And just like it did on David, the Holy Spirit dwells within you and is there to help you for anything. All you've got to do is ask. David continues, my cup overflows. That speaks of abundance, plenty. In Genesis 1:20, we read, then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly over the earth, across the face of the firmament of the heavens. But I believe that the greatest and most abundant gift, ever giving, is that which we can read in Romans 5 and 17, which we've already read once today. For if by one man's offense death reigned through that one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. It couldn't be any clearer. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8 tells us, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundant for every good work. So it doesn't ask you to do anything without providing you with the means to do it. Yes, we serve a generous God, a God who is no man's debtor. And the only thing that we have to offer him is our love, our thanks, our acceptance of him as our Savior, and our worship. Because everything else he gives us. So we're just returning. The psalm goes on, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. What a blessing. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23 gives a blessing. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you can claim that blessing, then you can look forward to the last part of that verse, the last part of verse 6. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There we've got not just the blessing, but blessed assurance. We've got the assurance. John 10, 28 to 29 reads, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. With that kind of assurance, I would suggest that it's well worthwhile letting the Lord lead you. But don't forget, it's no good expecting him to lead you if you're not prepared to follow. Because that's what the disciples were called to do, to follow Jesus. I'm just going to run through those, all the points before I finish. So if you want to enjoy relationship, you want to enjoy the supply of all your needs, if you want to enjoy rest, know the perfect peace, the peace, the path is all understanding. If you want healing, not just bodily healing, but spiritually healing. If you require guidance, if you want to know the purpose for your life, if you want to know how to deal with testing, if you need protection, if you need discipline, if you need hope, if you need converting, if you need the abundance, the blessing, and most importantly, the assurance, then there is only one way to do it. And one verse which isn't up there is John 3:16 tells you, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you don't know the Lord today, then I would honestly and humbly suggest that you get down on your knees and pray to him and ask him for guidance. And if you hear him knocking, open the door and invite him in. You won't regret it. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you care for each one of us. Lord, you know each one of us so well. And Lord, I just pray that the word that you've given me, I didn't quite understand why you've given me, but Lord, you've got a purpose for everything. So Lord, I just pray that you'll take it and use it, and that it will be fruitful, both today and in the future, as people may listen to your word on the web. Lord, you work in mysterious ways, your wonders to perform, and we will never know half of them until we meet with you. But Lord, we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.